So will you turn in your Bibles with me? Just as a reference text, I'm going to start in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We've been on this limitless theme for a couple of weeks, and we'll be on it a little bit longer. And my theme this morning is limitless love. And yeah, it's like a huge subject when you start talking about the love of God, and you want to express what that means to me and to us and what the Word of God has to say about the love of God. And it, you know, it's one of those sermons where it can't just be information. And my prayer is, and through the worship this morning, I trust in even just praying for Boniface and Happy and just everything, somehow the love of God just permeates us and who we are. And the only way we can actually understand this limitless love and preach about it and share it with other people is if we go deeper in it ourselves. So my prayers this morning as I'm sharing is that we'll understand a little bit more about His love again. We'll be reminded, but more than that, God will just somehow massage that love into us again. Something special, something new. What it means to actually know the love of God and to experience the love of God in our lives. So that's my prayer. So it's a big task, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do it. I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can come and in a moment touch a heart, change a life. Amen? So Holy Spirit, come and touch a life. Touch us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have your way today. Bring the love of God in a fresh way into our lives. Amen and amen. That's my prayer. So I've already preached it, but 1 John 4:16 says, "So we have come to know and believe in the love of God, believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." Amen. Could preach this verse all morning. But it's he says, we've come to know and to believe. We've come to understand, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on that aspect, and to believe, and to put our faith in, and put our trust in. Me believing in the depth of God's love for me is the key to my growing into a loving person. It's only as we understand God's love and as we taste it and as we know it that we can move on in our own love life, in our own life with God and with one another. So we need to know and we need to believe. So I have four simple tests to know, and we'll go through them. There's scripture verses with each one. The first one, Ephesians 5 verses 1 to 2, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So how do you know if someone loves you? This is going to be a marriage seminar announcement, preparation. How do you know if someone loves you? Well, one of the first tests is the cost. And if you think about Jesus, love costs. Think about what it cost him, for God so loved this world, he gave his only son. Think what the cost was to Jesus. And I was thinking about it this week and thinking, how do you express that? I can't express it. It's kind of like explaining fasting. I don't know. I can talk about it. But think about the love of Christ on the cross this morning. What the cost was. Coming from heaven. You know, we have many Tanzanian friends here today, and I've shared this example before. But, you know, when I moved to Tanzania, and we lived in Musoma in language school, and our first 6 months was in a tin shack with literally cockroaches and rats coming from the ceiling. And if you turn on the lights too quick, it was just like chaos. So I'd rather just leave the lights off and pretend things were good. And I remember thinking one time, and I was sick, and I had typhoid, and I was throwing up, and I had diarrhea more details than you needed. But for months, couldn't break it. The food at the language school in 1981 was very tough. And I remember somewhere in that process thinking, man, did I ever give up a lot. Poor me. You know, we weren't even married 1 year. You know, the few months before that was our honeymoon. We're sitting in Hawaii, drinking pina coladas, enjoying life. Thinking I'm quite a mover and a shaker. About 8 months later, I'm sitting in in language school, or actually we had our first anniversary in that tin shack. So, and Lori cried herself to sleep in her little cot under a mosquito net, and I was over in mine over there, and the rats were in between us. And we were just, true story. I could tell you more. And I remember thinking, what a cost. But think what Jesus did. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. I think I'm going to write a song. Remember that song? He came from heaven to walk among us, rats and all. The love of Christ, let it fill our hearts this morning. Let it move us. Let it stir us when we think about the cost. This is, you know, grace is free because it was paid for. It's expensive. It cost blood. It cost Jesus. It cost a son. It cost his life. You know, one picture this week that crossed my mind is think of Jesus on the cross, and he's only 30. You know, when I was young, our pastor died years ago, Pastor Driver, and I think he was 35, and I remember thinking, wow, he lived a full life. At least he lived a full life. Now I look at 30, hasn't even started. Jesus paid with his life. He's sitting on the cross, hanging on the cross, and he looks at John. He says, John, behold your mother. Mom, look at John. A life was taken. Cost him. Think about the cost. What about in marriage? Man, it costs to be married. Come on, men. Stand with me here. No, wives. You lay down your life. It costs. It's not something you enter into lightly. Why do you think we say that at the marriage? You know, this is an institution created by God and should not be entered into lightly. You know, what God joins together. There is a, you are laying down your life, your will, your cost. What about children? You know, I've said it many times. I thank God for the mothers in this church. When I see them with, you know, used to use the example of Tracy. She's not the biggest framed mom. I don't see her, and maybe she's with the kids this morning. But she had that baby thing hanging on her arm. Those things weigh like 700 pounds. And one here, and a baby bag, and coming into church, and everything's crazy and fighting. And I don't know whose child kicked all the glass over at the back there this morning as we're trying to have a nice holy moment. It costs to raise kids. It costs your life. I'd be a millionaire if it wasn't for my children. If someone loves you, they will pay a price for you. If you're not married yet, single, and even if you are married, don't accept a cheap love. Let them pursue you. You follow hard after God, and they must catch up. You never turn away from God. You never slow down your walk with God for someone who's holding you back. They must come with. They must pay the price with. They must pursue you and never stop in order to have real love. So the first test is pay the price. The second one, we could go on these, but the second one is Romans 5, verses 5 to 8. It's undeserved. And it says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, this is how, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Second test of life, of love, is it's undeserved. We were spitting in God's face. None of us were seeking God when he found us. None of us were pious, holy people found in the temples of God when he found us. It's what Boniface said this morning. Christ found us in our weakest place. Christ found us when we were doing things to our bodies we shouldn't be doing, when we were mocking God, when we were spitting in his face, as it were. I've used the example too many times, but we read the Bible where Jesus is on the cross, and the people are there mocking him and screaming at him. They had no clue what was going on at that moment. But we do it all the time. Every time we lose our joy, every time we turn our back on God, every time we allow this flesh to rise up, it's like we're kicking dirt in God's face again, just mocking everything he did on the cross. So many times I've caught myself saying, oh, God, help me. Can't I ever just drive a car without getting angry at the guy in front of me? I am spitting in your face again, Jesus. Help me. God, help me. I don't want to live like that. I want to live a life that's pleasing to God when I think about what he did for me. And I pray that God will help us to understand that we don't deserve it this morning. We don't deserve what Christ did for us. We despise him. Part of the knowing that I was talking about at the beginning is he loved us while we were hating him. Part of that getting to know God's love properly is to understand how undeserving it is of us, how little we deserve his love. And when you get that across, when you understand that, it's like you can worship God. You can give God what he deserves. And my prayers this morning, we would see that again. We would know that. You know, the Bible says that the devil knows, the devil believes. So it's got to be way past just knowing and believing. He's not saved. It's a knowing and understanding and acknowledging, and a believing is an action. It's a repentance. It's a moving on it and saying, God, by faith, I receive you this morning. We don't deserve it. We haven't done anything worthwhile, but God, you loved us. You poured your life into us. You gave yourself for us. We have value because God loves us. He doesn't love us because we have value. We have value. We have intrinsic value. He made us who we are because he loves us. And it's not for what we did. It's not for what we're going to do. It's God loves you, and he can never love you less than he does right now. The third one is 1 John 3, 1-3. It's benefits. The test of love is, what are the benefits? We see how much Christ loved us by what we gain from it. I love this verse. It's probably my favorite one. If I take a couple of minutes on it, you'll understand where I'm coming from. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The benefits. We sang about them this morning. We talk about them as Christians. Sometimes I think we get sort of caught up in our Christianese. We kind of get used to it. But think of it. I got some written there, but I don't need the list. Think about the benefits of love that have come to us. Forgiveness of sin. Heaven. Peace. Mental stability. Joy. What's the benefit that you would say God has given to you in your life since you've come to know the love of Christ? What is the benefit that you have received? You know, if I take the example back to marriage, to loving one another, each one of these tests, we should put our own love life through, our own relationship love through. But think of what it's meant to have someone come and love you. If I think about my dear sweet heart, who was my childhood sweetheart, we were children when we fell in love. My dear, dear wife, the first time I met her, my first wife, I only have one wife, same one. Just seeing if you're awake out there. The benefits. What Lori's love has done for me, how it's changed me, and what I received because someone loved me, I can write books about. There should be books written about it. Someone loved you. The benefits of being loved by someone, just to have a lifetime of relationship with someone who loves you. Think about the benefits. Think, you know, if that helps you to bring it closer to home, but think about the benefits of what Christ did for us. That's why, you know, we can't keep quiet. That's why we got to sing. That's why we got to shout. That's why we got to sing stuff and say stuff. And, you know, it's about a year ago now, a lady visited us. They've never come back again. Probably was the singing that was the reason. That's an inside joke, folks. She told me, actually, because I met her in the parking lot by mistake afterwards, going out for something, and, oh, can I just say one thing? And, it's a little dangerous when you're the preacher and someone's like, I just want to say one thing. It's like, yeah, okay. Why are you screaming at us, is what she said. My Jesus doesn't scream at me. And I was like, I don't know. I don't think I was screaming, but you know why preachers scream? Because God is so good. He loved us. We don't deserve it. And there's so many benefits. There's so much. I can't believe when people don't get it, when they don't believe it, when they don't trust it. And my prayer is every time on every Sunday, every time I stand up to preach, is God, don't let me get in the way between you and people. If they could just see Jesus for 5 minutes, if they could just know him for a moment, if his spirit could just come and quicken something in their life, they'd be changed forever. That's why we scream. That's why we say, come on, sing. That's why we worship God, because his love endures forever. Read Psalm 136. If you want to get homework from this sermon, read Psalm 136, the whole psalm. Every time he says a verse, and his love endures forever. It's another song. I should write a song about that. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That's enough sermon right there. He is good and his love endures forever. That word love is translated out of the Hebrew to mean loving kindness. God's loving kindness endures forever. And then the verse just goes on. It's every time he says the verse, he created heaven and his love endures forever. And he created the moon and his love endures forever. The whole psalm just keeps saying it over and over and over again. His love endures forever. His loving kindness. Do you see God as good this morning? Do you see benefits of worshiping him and living for him, loving him? If you don't, then I challenge you to get closer to him. I challenge you to surrender more. I challenge you to bow your knee and bow your heart and to bow your life to Jesus, that you would see the benefit. You would see the fruit of it. And in your marriage, if you commit to love your spouse like God loves us, you will see the benefit of it. You'll see the investment. You know, you're talking about investment this morning. I hate investments. Mine have all gone bad. It's not true. I love them. I realized I love money. We always said our whole life, I don't love money. No, we're way past that. Loving Jesus, serving God. And then we lost some money. I'm like, no, I actually loved money. I just never had any. That's why. Think of the investment, that the return on a marriage when you love one another for life. And then the second generation and the third generation and God's blessing. Think of it. Think of the benefits of serving God in your life. The fruit of it. I don't know what it's going to be. Like he says, when we get to heaven, I don't know what it's going to be like. You know, we sing stuff and we say stuff about harps and whatever. And if I could sing it, I literally would sing it. If I could sing like Glenn Waterston this morning, I used to love when he'd sing that song. I can only imagine. You know that song? You know that song? Can you sing that song? Can you sing it right now? No. Rats. Can only imagine. Will we stand and sing? Will we fall on our faces? Will we be quiet? I can't not imagine what God has in store for us in heaven. And Lori and I have been married 37 years this year. It's just getting sweeter and sweeter. I mean that. When we're together, there's 37 years of life between us. That's a lot of years of joy, of pain, of children, of life, of ministry, stuff we've seen in the world, life. There's benefits to love. If you're not getting a benefit out of love, then change your love. Do something. Submit to Christ. Submit to one another. do something. There is a sweetness that comes when we follow hard after God. There's a fruit. There's a benefit of it. I could go on all morning about it. I pray that you will enjoy some of the benefits of love in your life. The last one, John 10, verse 18. The freedom in which it's given, no one takes it from me, but I lay down my life of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from the Father. It's not in payment, it's in free will. It's willingly given. No one is making them do it. True love is given freely. It's given openly. Love is deep in proportion to its liberty. I like that statement. When a relationship moves from being friends, you know, we've done quite a bit of marriage counseling over the years. We are married ourselves. I remember falling in love. I'm not that old. I can remember. But the point is this, is as you start to grow in a relationship with someone, let's just bring it back down to us and our relationships here. Your relationships start to grow. There's an excitement, there's a vulnerability, there's a danger to it, you're hanging it all out there. There's a vulnerability when you start to get close to someone. If you're just greeting people in church, that's fine, you're safe. But as you start to like someone and you start to want to have a relationship with someone, I can remember back in the day sitting at Bible camp. That's where Lori and I sort of met. And I'd go sit beside her in Bible camp. It was like, woo! And then one day, she didn't sit beside me. I was ruined. She didn't even know I existed, actually. She's like, this guy, he doesn't say nothing. You know, I came from the farm in Alberta. That's how you did stuff. The person you sit beside really quiet, that means you really like that person. And you're scared to say anything. So as you start to want to build this relationship, you start to get a little more vulnerable. You start to share a little bit more. You start to hang it out there a little bit more, putting it out there. And if they reciprocate, there's a little more freedom. You get a little more closer. Relationships grow, and it gets more costly and more risky. Because if one says no, the cost is greater. When you're just hanging out having coffee, that's nothing. But when you start to actually love someone, actually like someone, this relationship's growing, that's when the risks grow. What if they reject me? What if they don't like me? What if I mess up? What if I, whatever? And it's scary. And when somebody returns love unconditionally, when someone is open and there's a freedom and they love back, it's like, I don't know how you felt, but it was like, this is good. Whatever this is good. Now take that to Jesus. Jesus exposed himself completely on the cross. He was stripped. He was beaten. He hung everything out there on the cross. His love for humanity, his love for you and I. He held nothing back, and he responds to us receiving that love. He waits for us to reciprocate. And as we say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Jesus, I serve you. This relationship grows, and he loves us more, and he loves us more. And the beautiful thing about it is, if you've never experienced that kind of love in a relationship here on earth, you can receive it and know it with Jesus. He is not fickle. He will not change. He will not wake up tomorrow and not love you. He will discipline. He will correct. He will speak to us. He uses his word. But God's love is it endures forever. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. Oh, I messed up. You know, a lot of Christians live in this fearful state. I'm not good enough. I failed God. Let me just tell you something. Your salvation is secure in Christ. Faith in Jesus and faith in his faith. I don't have time for that sermon, but he is working in us. It's God holding on to us that gives us assurance. It's God coming and rescuing us out of the miry clay. It's God coming and regenerating us by His Spirit. We are born again. We have that assurance. And by faith, we accept that free gift of God. And we have that assurance in our heart from God Himself. Think about it. He works in our life to show His unconditional love to us. Do you know that love? Do you know it? Do you know what it's like to just be loved by God? I pray this morning that you'll know that. I pray you'll receive that today. Just sit back in His love. You know, the three little girls dancing here this morning, I was saying to the Lord, we need to dance like that. You know, dance as though no one's watching, whatever the saying is. It's like there's a freedom. When you fall in love with, I don't care what the world thinks, what the devil thinks, what my flesh thinks. When you fall into love with Christ and you start to become vulnerable and you start to put it out there, you start to risk it. What does it mean to serve God? What does it mean to say yes to God? What does it mean when God puts demands on my life? And the more you surrender and the more you love Him and the more you live for Him, the more you give your life to Him, the more you realize how freeing that is. How much God has for me and how much God wants to give me in my life. And the devil's going to come along and say, you know what? You're not worthy. God doesn't really love you. Did God really say that? Is God, you know, and put thoughts and things in our life that are wrong. And God's saying, just come to me. Come just the way you are. Come with warts and all. Come and trust me with your life. His freedom. And when you taste that, going back to my relationships here, when someone loves you back and someone is just free and, you know, they get to know you and you go through engagement, and engagement is that time when you can actually get to know one another, and then marriage where it's just all exposed. It's a beautiful thing and it's a scary thing, but it's where love is found. It's where life is lived. It's when you become one. It's when you become intimate. It's when you become lovers. And God wants that with us. He wants to know us and us to know Him. As the verse in John said at the beginning, so we've come to know. Do you know His love this morning? Do you know His love? And to believe, to put your faith in. It's not just enough to know about it. It's not just enough to say, hey, I know that. You have to now put your faith in it. You got to put your trust in it. You got to start living in that. You got to go deeper into the love of God, deeper into the things of God, deeper into who He is, so that this love in us can grow and grow and mature and become what God wants it to be, in order for us to live in it, in order for us to love others like that. So, love costs. So you want to love people? You say, I want to love the world? It's going to cost. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost time. It's going to cost money. It's going to cost effort. You don't plant a church just overnight like that. You don't do something amazing. Any kind of relationship, marriage, church, relationship with God, whatever love you're talking about this morning, it's going to cost you. And it's going to have to, but the beautiful part of it is you'll see the benefits of it. And I pray you see the benefits. And it's worth it. You just give freely, and the more freely you give, the more God gives freely back. Dance like these little girls in church this morning. Ha! You know what I'd love to see someday? And don't do it if it's not of God, but I would love to see some of the fathers up here with their daughters dancing. Come on, just work with me here. It'd probably freak you out, and it'd probably kill a few religious spirits. But I'm telling you, Mark, if I saw you with your little daughter, I could see that look. I could see it coming. Yeah. You just might break something loose in the Holy Ghost here when your little daughter and you are dancing up here. Think about it. To worship God freely, unhindered, and to receive His love back. Hindered. Hallelujah. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for us. I pray that we could just live in some more of that. The condemnation could be broken. The judging one another could be broken. The heaviness can be broken. There's a love of God. Like, man, I don't want to come into church and just feel lousy. I want to come into church and just feel His love and His life in me. And, you know, part of that is sharing it with each other. And if you were here in the prayer meeting this morning, you understood some of it, that we, you know, we love because God loved us. Without that, we're just religious. Without that, we're just working hard. If we can just sit back and say, thank you, God. Thank you for your love. I'm going to dance like a three-year-old. So when you see me twirling up here and spinning, me and Mark just having a good time. I think Jack even. Because we love God. It's so beautiful when you just love Him. And you've fallen deeper in love and deeper in love and deeper in love. And He's loving us and He's loving us more. You know, if Jesus was here, and He is here, man, it wouldn't matter what was going on in your life. He would say, you know, go and sin no more if there's an issue, but come to me. Find life, find freedom, find hope, find peace. I got so much more. He's not stingy, and He's not going to hold it back, and He's not going to wrestle with it. God's love is tested and proven. Hallelujah. It's premium, high octane. It's got enough for everybody. So that's my prayer today, that we would live in some of that. You and I could experience some of that. May He help us. May He speak it into our lives today. Amen. Do you have a personal revelation of God's love? Do you know His love? You shouldn't try to explain it. You shouldn't try to live it. You shouldn't try to preach it. You shouldn't try to help others to understand it until you have it. And when you've received that personal revelation of God's love to you, then you can't keep quiet. But it comes out with love. It doesn't come out as religion. It doesn't come out as condemnation. It doesn't come out as preaching to someone. It comes out as, hey, a love of God that touches the world, changes people, changes homes, and changes our marriages. Amen. Let's pray.